Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend Hans Jorgensen from St. Timothy's Lutheran Church in St. Paul. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. God of goodness, we give thanks today for strong coffee and soft tacos, for laughter that lifts our spirits and tears that remind us how life matters. We give thanks for these leaders of Minnesota and pray for guidance as they engage their significant tasks, representing farmers and immigrants, nursing home attendants and grocery store clerks, business owners and teachers, children and retirees and liberals and conservatives, and a bunch of people who do not fit neat little categories, but need their wisdom. So we pray you give them tough minds and tender hearts for the challenges before them. Open their thoughts to curiosity and their spirits to one another. Let their abilities and energies serve the people of this state. And at day's end, give them blessed rest with loved ones. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daley, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Keelash, Koch, Cruz, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Spark, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Wieger, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communication, there is one printed on the first page of today's Senate agenda. The third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to inform the Senate that the House of Representatives invites and is ready to meet with the Senate in joint convention at 6:45 p.m. on Wednesday, February 15, 2012, to receive the message of the Honorable Mark Dayton, Governor of the State of Minnesota, said message to be delivered at 7 p.m. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I move that the Senate accept the invitation of the House of Representatives to meet in joint convention with the in the House chamber at 6:45 p.m. Wednesday, February 15, 2012, to receive the message of the Honorable Mark Dayton, Governor of the State of Minnesota.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Continuing under messages from the House, the Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has appointed a committee of five members of the House to act with a similar committee on the part of the Senate to escort the Governor to the joint convention to be held in the House chamber on Wednesday, February 15, 2012. Said joint convention to be convened at 6:45 and the said message of the Governor to be delivered at 7 p.m. Vogel, Banyan, Keel, Allen, and Morin have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no action necessary on that message. Moving on to the fifth order of business under reports of committee. We will take up the first seven printed on pages 2 and 3. Senator Senjum.
Excuse me, Madam President. Members, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to appointments.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I move that the reports pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the sixth order of business, the second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on page 3 of the agenda, second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, the introduction and first reading of bills. Those bills are printed on today's Senate bill introduction, first reading. They will be referred as indicated. Moving to the ninth order of business under motions and resolutions, there are 8 motions, author's motions printed on page 4 of today's agenda. They will be voted on as one motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Dames.
Madam President, I move that Senate file number 1066 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environmental and Natural Resources and returned to the author.
And my understanding, Senator Dames, is that is your bill.
That is correct.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senate resolution printed on page 4 of today's agenda will be referred to rules. And then the Secretary will read Senate Resolution Number 126.
Senator Senjamin Bach introduced Senate Resolution Number 126, a joint resolution relating to the appointment of a committee to escort the governor to the House chamber for a joint convention.
Senator Senjam.
Madam President, members, I would move the escort committee as will be presented.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion does prevail. Those appointed as the escort committees are Senators Howe, Senator Eaton, Hayden Miller, and Dietzick. Moving on to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm rising to extend my gratitude and thanks to the Senate, our Senate Majority Leader and President, for recessing our Senate. Thank you very much. It was an honor that you gave to my father, who served as a state officer. And I just want you to know that there have been many of us who have been experiencing, because of that time of life, the loss of parents. I know that Senator Limmer, Senator Jungbauer, Senator Cohen, Senator Perry, and a note recently mentioned, and Senator Harrington have lost parents recently, and that we really would like to honor, all of us would like to have that kind of honor for them. So thank you very much. It was an honor to him. He would have, I believe he would have jumped out of his casket at the thrill of knowing that you paid such an honor to him and to his life. So thank you very much.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, just want to encourage you to watch for the topic selection form from the legislative auditor that's come out. Should it be in your mailboxes today if it wasn't yesterday? I encourage you to fill that out and turn that back in, then I don't have to darken your door trying to track you down to get your submission. Thank you.
Madam President.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, pursuant to the conversation I had with you earlier, a matter of inquiry for the Majority Leader, if I might.
Senator Cohen.
Thank you. Madam President and Senator Senjam, I want to just raise a question of inquiry as to when we'll have a Rules Committee meeting relative to the retention of counsel on behalf of the Senate. And the question, I know there's been correspondence between you and Senator Bach. The question some of us have is a little bit different, and that's a question relative to the legal ethics involved, because the Senate has retained counsel. And pursuant to the Code of Professional Responsibility that all lawyers are governed by, all clients have to be kept apprised of litigation. If the Senate has retained counsel, every one of us, all 67 senators, are the clients. And all I know as an individual client is what I read in the newspaper, a quotation from Mr. Ludeman, who is not a senator, who's an employee of the Senate. The representation of the particular firm also raises a couple of other concerns that we need addressed, and that is the potential of conflicts, because this law firm has represented the Senate DFL caucus previously on issues, and I was not involved with that, but we need to explore that, as well as I what I understand to be the law firm, if it's the law firm that I'm aware of, we need to be advised relative to any conflicts that might exist, because they have work that they do here in the state capitol with the Senate and the House relative to the representation of clients. So we have some of those concerns that would be concerns I think any lawyer who's a member of the body would understand relative to the Code of Professional Responsibility that we'd like to have addressed with the law firm. Obviously, additionally, we have the concerns raised relative to Senate rules brought on behalf of Senator Bach in terms of the retention of counsel, the payment of counsel, how this will proceed. And again, can only emphasize that from the perspective of legal ethics, as best I know, the Senate has retained counsel. The Senate is not a corporation, so that you have a CEO. Every one of the 67 of us would be the client. And so we need to know how all the clients will be apprised of what's going on. And that's why, Mr. Majority Leader, the inquiry is when we'll have a meeting of the Rules Committee to discuss not just with Mr. Ludeman and Senate counsel, but also with the particular lawyers retained by the Senate as to how we're going to handle these ethical kinds of concerns.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Cohen. Believe me, the intent here is to be transparent. There's no question about this. You may or may not be aware of a letter that I sent to Senator Bach yesterday, and that's been circulated at least within our membership, and we can certainly make it available to yours if you'd like. Senator Ortman and I intend to, in fact, we just talked about it coming in, to call Senator Bach first thing next week and sit down with him and work through these things. I understand your concern. There's every wish to be transparent in this. There's obviously some things that we can't get into in that kind of a forum, but we want to make sure that your questions are answered, and I think you'll find this kind of accommodating.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, I appreciate that. Let me just offer the distinction, because I did see your response to Senator Bach, and the purpose of my inquiry is not so much an interpretation of rules of the Senate, but I think that needs to be addressed as well, as Senator Bach has written to you, and I did see your response, because obviously the rules of the Senate deal with the governance of the body. The question I raise is a little bit different, because it gets into a question of the ethics that each of us as a lawyer has toward a client. And if I were to represent somebody as my client, I have a duty to disclose to my client what's going on, what's taking place. And the point I want to emphasize is that since the Senate has retained counsel, not, say, the Senate Majority Caucus, and if the Senate Majority Caucus retains counsel, I have nothing to say about that. And there's no need to disclose anything to me if the Senate Majority Caucus is doing something of that sort. But where the Senate is doing it as the entire body, then I have as much right as anybody else on this floor to a disclosure of what's going on. Now, having said that, I know that this is a very serious matter, and the Senate would want to proceed in a professional, appropriate way. And Senator Bach and I would be very happy to sit down and talk to you about some approach to this that might make sense without being disruptive to the Senate as a body. But we do want that opportunity. We'd like to have that opportunity as quickly as possible to do that with you, Senator Ortman, and anybody else, and then have some discussion, if appropriate, in the full Rules Committee.
Senator Cohen, I believe that did go a little bit beyond a simple inquiry of the Senate Majority Leader.
Well, and Madam President, I was just trying to reply to his comment back to me.
Senator Senjum.
And Madam President, just to be assured, Senator Ortman may be talking to Senator Bach right now. This was eminent just before coming into the room, so it's our intent to sit down with certainly him and certainly you if you'd like to be in the room and talk about these issues and make sure that you're comfortable with them.
Further announcements, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, tomorrow is Minnesota Wear Red Day. And I'd like to share this Senate resolution with you. Whereas currently some 8 million women in the United States are living with heart disease, yet only one American woman in 5 believes that heart disease is her greatest health threat. And whereas 90% of women have one or more risk factors for developing heart disease, 26% of women die within a year of suffering a heart attack compared with 19% of men. And whereas while 1 in 30 American women dies from breast cancer each year, 1 in 3 dies of cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease claims the lives of over 419,000 American females each year, almost one death per minute. And whereas only 43% of African American women and 44% of Hispanic women know that heart disease is their greatest health risk, compared with 60% of white women, nearly as many women die of heart disease, stroke, and all other cardiovascular diseases than the next 3 leading causes of death combined, including all cancers. And whereas only 16% of women surveyed in 2009 identified cardiovascular disease as the greatest health problem facing them, and whereas in women, heart disease is too often a silent killer, less than a third of women in a recent survey reported any early warning signs, such as chest pain or discomfort before a heart attack, compared with most men, and whereas common symptoms of women included pain of the jaw, arm, or back, but most reported a delay in seeking treatments after the symptoms began of anywhere from 15 minutes to 2 weeks, women are less likely to call 911 for themselves when experiencing symptoms of a heart attack than they are if someone else were having a heart attack. And whereas Go Red for Women is the American Heart Association's national call to increase awareness about heart disease, the leading cause of health for women, and to inspire women to take charge of their heart health. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate of the State of Minnesota that it recognizes February 3, 2012 as Minnesota Wear Red Day and urges all citizens to commemorate this day by wearing the color red, by increasing awareness, speaking up about heart disease, and empowering women to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. We can save thousands of lives each year.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Without objection, the following members will be excused all day. Senators Bach, Lori, Olson, and Sieben. They are excused all day without objection. Further announcements? Senator Senjum.
If not, Madam Chair, I do hereby move that the Senate now adjourn until February 8th, Wednesday, at 12 noon on Wednesday, February 8th.
Senator Senjum has moved the Senate adjourn until February 8th, Wednesday at noon. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned. You need this.